Now, the last several weeks, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Kids, you have your Bibles with you? How many kids we have? Kids, if you have your Bibles, hold them up really high. Kids, if you have kids, okay, adults, do the same thing with the kids, you know, hold up your Bibles. Phones are okay if you have a Bible app, good. Okay, now take this Bible with both hands, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I've already have it marked, so it's quick for me. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be there today. Okay, about these boxes. What you see here are some items from my storage unit. I repeat, these are some of the items from our storage unit. Now, the primary things that's in these baskets right here are kids' clothes. They have not seen the light of day in probably 10 years, and I'm not joking. These are primarily Liv's clothes. When the kids grew out of their clothes, we just put them in a box and put them in storage. Primarily the attic, but when we moved here, now we have a storage unit that we pay for. Shelly's mom bought most of these for us. And then we got some of them as shower gifts, some of them as gifts from other friends. And many of these clothes at one point were worth a lot of money, I have to say. They're really nice. We could have sold them, we thought that. But we've always found a reason to put them off. Put off selling them, to put off getting rid of them. So what do we do instead? We pay money for a storage unit to keep them with all of the other stuff that we can't quite let go of. Now, I know some of you are looking down on me. Just admit it. How many of you have storage units? Be honest. Come on. And it's totally fine if you own a storage unit company. That's fine, too. Just okay, some of us have 7 storage units. Wow, okay. We may need to talk after. Okay, I know you're looking down on me. I know that. You're probably saying, don't you have enough, Scott? Don't you have enough? Well, the question I have is, how much is enough? I mean, really, how much is enough? And this is the question that is asked at the end of Matthew chapter 6. How much is enough? And what makes us feel as if we have enough? The question was being asked back then to Jesus' audience, just like it's being asked of us today. Of course, then, enough was a little different, I think. We need to remember that for the most part, the people in Israel were living day to day. I guess you could say it's like the people here living paycheck to paycheck, but that's more week to week, right? They were living day to day. It was subsistent living. If you didn't work that day, you probably didn't eat that day. They had very basic ways of preserving food. They couldn't really preserve it for that long. But these people had daily interactions with hunger pains, sickness, death, oppression, other harsh conditions. And in addition, they had to deal with this whole religious aspect that was at times equally judgmental and harsh. I guess that's because people have not changed. People are judgmental and harsh, aren't we? I mean, we would look at some of these people and we would commend them for pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, making the most out of what they've been given. We would say, yes, you do what you have to do to provide for your family and for yourself. And honestly, if we look at them, we would say, who could blame them for taking more than what they need? I mean, we're not going to. I mean, probably because we know what it's like to not have enough. I mean, we don't have enough in America. We live in a culture of scarcity because we are constantly told that we do not have enough. Advertising tells us we do not have enough. And if we don't act now, we might miss the enough that we could have. So, a sampling of advertising. You ready? Limited time. 5 hours only. It only happens once a year. Hot one-day sale right there. Ends today. There's this culture of you got to act now or you're going to miss out because you don't really have enough. But if you act now, you might have enough. Isn't that funny? We live in a culture that continually bombards us with the idea that we do not have enough. In fact, they scare us into thinking that we will not have enough or that others will have something that we won't. And this has honestly been practiced in our culture for so long, we are immune to it. Well, on a conscious level, we're immune. I mean, we don't recognize it anymore necessarily, but we do respond to it. This is why we have Black Friday, we have Cyber Monday, and we have been conditioned to believe that we don't have enough of anything. And because we live in this sense of having less than we need, we're constantly looking to get more. And we can tend to think that the antidote to scarcity, to this idea of not having enough, we tend to think the antidote to that is accumulation, to get more for ourselves. But I think we'll see that is not the solution. So let's see what Jesus has to say about living in this world of scarcity, because it's not new. Scarcity has been in our minds for thousands of years. So let's read. This is beginning in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6. Could you do this for me? Here we go. This is the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is not your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive after such things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of the Lord. Are we worried that we will not have enough? Jesus' audience knew what it was like to not have enough. And by our standards today, they didn't have enough of anything. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough money. They didn't have enough human rights. They didn't have enough respect. They didn't have enough opportunity. And because of this corrupt religious leadership that they interacted with on a daily basis, these people were never able to feel as if they were getting it right on so many levels spiritually. Because there was always someone who was doing it better. Always someone who was looking down on them for not doing it as well. They never had enough spiritual reward, so what did they do? They sought it out socially. Some tried to accumulate spiritual currency so that they could feel as if they had more. the reward that God had for them, well, it wasn't really a desire after a while. And these people, they also knew what it was like to not have enough financially, so they would do anything they could to accumulate financial wealth for themselves. And what I find interesting is that when Jesus talks, he does not sympathize with them. He doesn't say, oh, I know you don't have enough. Oh, you know what? He doesn't sympathize at all. What does he do? He raises the bar on what it means to be a disciple. He addresses their idea of scarcity, and he gets them to ask this question. Is what God has given me enough? And I'm asking myself that question right now. Do I trust God enough to know that he knows what I need and will provide that for me? I mean, what is it that we really want, you know? Is it security? Is it wealth? We want to get to the point where one day we don't have to be uncomfortable. Jesus says very plainly in verse 24 that we cannot serve both God and wealth. Now listen, I'm not saying we should stop working in financial markets. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, when Shelly and I first got married, we went to this church, and it's kind of a funny story, but there was one moment when he's talking about this passage, and he's speaking very literally. In fact, one moment he says this whole passage, and he says, this is why we don't have insurance or bank accounts, savings accounts. And I leaned over to Shelly and I said, let's get out of here. Of course, it's the same guy who a few weeks later said, the end times are starting, and I think it's starting next March, you know. He might have been off a couple of decades, timing-wise, but I think it's funny that, you know, some people look at this very literally. I'm not saying that at all, because some of you have great gifts financially. I'm not saying to neglect your finances. I am saying, you know, use your gifts. Use that, but what I will say, and hear me, please, he who has ears to hear, let them hear right now. If your sole purpose in life is to gain as much money as you can so that you will one day have enough, it may not be God you're following. And before us poor and middle class can judge, let me say this is not exclude us. This is not a rich man's problem. If our life is motivated by the fear of not having enough, so we do everything we can to get more, then it may not be God we're following either. We cannot follow both God and wealth. Now, the word used here is mammona. That's the Greek word. And it's translated as wealth, but it's also translated as this worldly object in which we put our trust. It is a derogatory term. Because our decisions, the things that motivate us, are based on what we trust in. Do we trust in our wealth? Do we trust in things? We cannot trust in God and wealth. If we're doing everything we can to have that 401k that's just perfect so that we can retire at age 50 and never have to work again, are we really trusting in God to take care of all of our needs, or are we trusting in that? Maybe you can do both on some level, but I think some people are so focused. So my question is, the deep question, where is your trust? Is it in your things? Is it in your money? Is it in your fill in the blank? Is it in God? You know, in church life, some people feel as if they can't contribute or speak up or even lead because they don't know enough. And so what I've seen is that some people, they'll do everything they can to learn as much as they can, not to get to know God better, but to feel like they have enough spiritually. And so in a weird way, their trust is not in God. Their trust is in what they know about God. Do we have enough? When we keep asking that question, it seeps down into our bones to where do we have enough becomes are we enough? We wake up in the morning and we hear this question, I didn't get enough sleep. Then we go to bed, I didn't get enough done. Throughout the entire day, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that. How many more not enough statements are we going to make to ourselves before we start feeling that we are not enough? It begins ruling our life. I mean, maybe it already is ruling our life. motivating us to keep searching for what it will take to have and to be enough. So today I ask us, do you have enough? Could you do with less? I was talking to someone a while back, and they were having a very difficult time because they felt like they were not successful as they wanted to be. In fact, they told me, everyone else around me is advancing, getting more, doing this, doing that, and they had remained static. So my question to them is, okay, what if God's gift to you was that you would help others succeed? What if everyone around you would find success? You would not find financial or social success necessarily, but because of you, people would be successful and they would go on to help others be successful. What if that was God's gift to you? You would never see the success you wanted, but other people would benefit from your life. Would that be enough for you? I asked this person. And as I'm saying it, I'm asking myself. And now I ask you, would that be enough for you? The good news is God has created you to be exactly who you are. You know that. God has created you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Is that enough for us? Knowing that God knows our needs, that He meets our needs, could we live with what God knows we need, no more, no less? We could have gotten rid of these clothes many times before, but there's another reason we've held on to these. One of the ways Shelley's mother tells her and us that she loves us is by buying things for us. So in one way, this represents love from a mother to a daughter. These clothes also represent a time in our life before Liam when we were hoping beyond hope for another child, having experienced a miscarriage and lots of procedures. Things weren't going our way. And you know what? We know what we wanted, but God wasn't cooperating. Have you ever been there? But I want it. We keep these clothes in some way because we did not know what was next. After 6 years and wandering through a spiritual desert, we had Liam and no more use for these girl clothes. But we kept them. I wish I could say we were holding on to them for financial reasons, but we weren't. They almost serve as a scar, kind of, for us. They remind us of a time when we weren't sure that God was enough. Sometimes I think we hold on to things not because they give us satisfaction. We reach for things not because they will fulfill, but we hold on because we maybe just can't let it go. Those things we strive so hard to get, sometimes we don't know that there's any other way. I mean, what if the treasure we sought after, what if those things that we felt like we cannot do without, what if those things that we follow, those things that we serve, those things we hold actually hold us? Are these things serving us or are we serving them? So my question, are you worried? What are you seeking? What are you holding on to? Are the scars of your past getting all of your attention, causing you to spend money to keep up with it? I will say God can help you let go of them. Question we need to ask, are we searching for security in everything but God? Because He can help that too. Do you feel as if you're not enough? Because I will tell you, you are. God thinks you are. In fact, He thinks you're worth dying for. I'll leave you with this. If you are enough for God, could God be enough for you?